All right, Tavosai, good morning. Today's daf is daf ches. Actually, a very exciting daf gemara today. A lot of very interesting ideas. All right. So let's pick up. The gemara actually starts Zayin Amud Beis. Zayin Amud Beis, says the gemara. But Amrav Gidol Amrav. Okay, now daf of ches. Minayin shenishbot in lekayim es ha-mitzvah. This is very interesting. How do I know that I'm permitted to take an oath to take a shvua to uphold the mitzvah? And I understand we have not spoken about shvuas at all. As far as we know, we don't know about shvuas. We're experts in nedarim already, but we don't know that much about shvuas. But again, we'll get into the technical or mechanistic details of shvuas a little bit in nedarim also. So how do I know that I'm permitted to go ahead and take an oath to uphold the mitzvah? So I mean, I could take a shvua. I swear I'm going to put on tefillin. And I understand. Now understand the reason why the Gemara has to use that lashon. Ultimately, neder shvur. Remember again, going back to our early days on Beis Amud Beis, what's the chilik between a neder and a shvua? Now here you understand the Gemara is not really. So the neder, remember, is on a chefza. Shvua is on the gavra, right? So how do I know that I could take an oath upon myself? I swear I'm going to put on tefillin this morning. So how do I know that such an oath is effective? Shene'emar nishbati va'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. Because he quotes over here the pasuk from Tehillim. Literally, I have sworn, and I will uphold it. Lishmar, to keep mishpatei tzidkecha. Literally, the mishpatim, the laws, your righteous laws. Tzidkecha says, 1 second. V'alom b'shavah omi b'har sinayhu. Now this is an interesting concept that we're going to see in Masechet Shavuos a lot, the concept of Mushav Ma'omid. Mushav Ma'omid means I am already under an oath to keep the mitzvah. So Rabbi, right? What is that oath called? That's called Nasa Nishma. That's called Kabbalah Satorah. I mean, Rabbi, at the end of the day, as much as we have choice, technically, we have the chira to do whatever we want, but we do live with an oath that we already made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the pshat? How can I take another oath to go ahead and put on tefillin? If the truth is what's called, I'm mushva ma'omed. I'm already adjured. Does that make sense if I say that? I'm already adjured to take, right? I'm already under oath to go ahead and perform mitzvot. Look at Rashi. Mushva ma'omed, right hand side. Rashi. Tichsiv vishinamtam. The tzarich adam. I'm sorry, I'll say actually it's too quick. No, not yet. Sorry. Back to the Gemara. Ella hakamash malon to sharile the inish lezaruze nafshei. Now the Bosa, the Gemara says, what's the novel ruling? The novel ruling is that a person is permitted to take a shvua in order to encourage themselves to approach their mitzvot with greater zeal. In other words, I will say, interesting enough, what the Gemara is suggesting is that if I take a shvua to put on tefillin, is that shvua creating a chiyuv for me to put on tefillin? No. Because that is a pre-existing chiyuv. However, again, what I can do is I could take a shvua that is in place in order to encourage me to do my mitzvos with greater zeal. Again, we'll discuss these type of shvuas in greater detail in shvuas, but this idea is the shvua doesn't create the binding obligation. What the shvua creates is a sense of eagerness, a sense of zeal, a sense of zrizos.
Can the shvua change the binding obligation, like to make sure that you're going to put on your tefillin at Nates?
Oh, so yes, so that's already different, because I could alter the details of how I perform the mitzvah, because that I have absolute discretion on. And for example, say where this does come up, I could take it, and I understand, I'm not really, I could go ahead and take a shvua to put on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. You know, so in a case like that, I'm not bound, no one's bound to put on, even Hasidim are not bound, nobody's bound to put on tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. But Lamaisa, I could choose to do that. So that's Lamaisa, or I could vary the time. So the idea is, what the Gemara is saying is, I can't take a shvua really to put on tefillin, because then I'm already obligated to do. But if there are details that are up to my discussion, I absolutely could take a shvua on those. But I'm going to have say now another interesting idea. Listen to this. This is very Lamaisa. And you should text the people who are not yet here that they're missing a very important tag. You made it just in time. All right, listen to this. Ha'omer. Ashkim ve'eshne peregzeh. If a person takes a neder, I take a neder, I'm going to get up early to learn a particular perek, or eshne mesechta zu, or I'm going to get up early to go ahead and learn this particular Masechta. So as I said again, a person makes a neder to get up early in the morning to learn. So what does the Gemara say? So neder godol nodar lelokei Yisrael. This person has made a great neder to the God of Israel. So first of all, it's a very dramatic lashon that the Gemara makes. So the Gemara is saying over here, is a person decides to give up precious hours of sleep, right, precious minutes of sleep, in order to go out and get up and learn Torah. A person has made a neder to do that. That is a great neder that a person has made towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, I don't mean to like take the wind out of your sails. That's very nice, but v'alo musho ometu. But one second, but we're already under oath to learn Torah. So what's going on over here? So look at Rashi for just a moment. V'alo musho ometu tichsev v'shinamtam. The pasuk says, "The shenamtam that you shall go ahead and you shall learn." The tzarich adam lishanos b'torah. That person has an obligation to learn Torah. Lishnachrina v'alo musha v'omi v'harsinai d'chsev lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha. So it's interesting over here. Remember, the pasuk of v'shenamtam is v'shenamtam livanecha. Now we often understand that v'shenamtam livanecha is the obligation to teach your children. But you know, the svarim bring down a very important yisod. You can't teach your children unless what? Unless you know yourself. So the Torah, so in the mitzvah of chinuch, the Torah presupposes the idea that you have to be kovei from Torah, that you have to go out and learn as well. Now what's interesting is after that, Rashi quotes a pasuk from Yoshua. Now obviously a pasuk from Navi is great, but bringing a raya from Navi is not going to be as great as bringing a pasuk from Torah. So first Rashi quotes Vishnantam Levanecha, but then in Yoshua, again it does, Vishnantam I should say, then in Yoshua it says, Lo yamush sefer Torah zame picha, which means what? That again, this is in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. This is when the Malach comes to confront Yoshua in the beginning of the Sefer, saying that Klal Yisrael has been mevatel Talmud Torah. They've been mevatel learning. Now the interesting part is they mevatel learning. They're getting ready, laying siege to Yericho. Right? They're a little bit busy, but nevertheless, no matter how busy you are, there is an obligation to go ahead and learn Torah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So therefore, if I make a Shavua to go out and get up and learn early in the morning, so why is that Shavua Chal? At the end of the day, we're Mushva Va'omit. We already have a pre-Shavua upon us that we've accepted upon us to learn Torah. Ve'im Shavua Chala Al Shavua. Now, the interesting part over here is we have this concept. Now, today, the Gemara is introducing many new concepts to us that we have not yet seen before. And the truth is, the concepts are not really learned in this particular daf. These concepts come from other places. So we're not going to do them justice now. We're just going to familiarize ourselves with them. We ma'ayin with them in their respective places. So the Gemara says, in Shavua Chal Al Shavua, which literally means one Shavua cannot devolve upon another Shavua. In other words, if you are already under a Shavua, if you are already under oath, so to speak, you're already under Shavua, another Shavua cannot devolve upon that already existing Shavua. So if I am already adjured, so to speak, if I am already under Shavua to learn Torah, so if I take another Shavua to get up and learn early in the morning, so why should that second Shavua work at all? My kamashwalan, da'avilu zeruzi ba'alma. Oh, so Rabbi says, maybe he's teaching us the same lesson, that when I take a Shavua to go out and get up early in the morning to learn, so is that Shavua really impactful? Does that Shavua really accomplish anything? So the answer is, technically speaking, no, because I'm already under oath to go out and learn. But what does it do? Like we just said before, it creates zrizos. It was said, this is the whole yisur, by the way, of a neder in general. Unless you ever wonder about this, this you should know. Interestingly enough, the Kli Yakar, just very quickly, because I'm going on to my tangents already, the Kli Yakar says that by the chatas of the Nazir, right? The Nazir, at the end of his Nazirite vow, brings the Karban chatas. So all the Mefarshim, why does he bring a sin offering? Right? He's Kadosh Lashem, he tried to, why does he bring a sin offering? So there are many different answers. The Kli Yakar says something amazing. The Kli Yakar says, wonderful you want to be a Nazir, why did you have to take a Neder? He says, Neder represents lack of self-control. Because if you want to accomplish something, go for it. Why do you have to bind yourself with the halachic mechanism of a nazir? Of a neder. Because when you make a neder, again, you also set yourself up for potential failure. So the Gemara thing over here is that Lamaisa, so the idea is Lazaruze Nafshe. The idea is that some people need the extra push. Text this to the people who are not here yet, right? So some people need an extra push to be able to do what it is that they need to do. So the Gemara says over here like this, do I have an obligation to learn? Of course I have an obligation to learn. So am I taking a neder to go ahead and get myself up early to learn? Lizaruze, it pushes me. Now that I know that I have an extra level of halachic binding obligation upon it, pushes me to do more. Rav says, well, one second. Hainu d'Rav Gidol. So we'll say, so one second. But that's what we just said before, meaning that's what Rav Gidl just said. What Rav Gidl just said is the same idea as what we said before. The Zeruzei Nafshe, the idea ultimately, if I take a Shavua, Sahain Rav Gidl, Tahain Rav Gidl Kamaisa. So remember, Rav Gidl saying the same thing that we just said before, which is what Rabbo say, that I could take a Shavua to go ahead and fulfill a mitzvah. I am already obligated to fulfill a mitzvah. The Zeruzei Nafshe. So are we quoting the same, essentially, why are we quoting the same concept twice? Meaning, okay, if you're teaching me that I could take a Shavua that essentially obligates me to do something that I'm already obligated to do, doesn't really create an obligation, rather creates a sense of excitement, of eagerness. We already learned that before. Why does Rav Gidl have to restate that concept again specifically by Talmud Torah? Ha kamashlan kevandi by Pater Navshe v'kriya shema shachras v'arvis. Mishom hachi chayil Shavua alei. Oh, because this case is different. Rabbi said, why is this case different? Because lemaisa, again, Rabbi said, I have an obligation to learn Torah every single day. And the truth is, even if you want to get technical, I could even say I have an obligation to learn Torah in the morning and in the evening. But there's a very easy out. What's the very easy out? Kriya Shema. Well, say, technically speaking, when you say Kriya Shema, you can say Kriya Shema again. Kriya Shema has dual identity. There is the obligation of Shema as it is part of Tefillah. But because Shema is also partios of the Torah, I could also go ahead and what? I could also technically satisfy my biblical obligation of Talmud Torah. I will say, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's a part in the Siddur. There's a part in the Siddur that some people don't necessarily recognize. There's the part between Brachos and Mizmor Shir. You know, there's like a whole section in the Siddur over there. And some editions have those pages out of there, right? It's almost like Karbanos. So interesting, one of the ideas that we say Karbanos in the morning is, again, one of the ideas is actually Karbanos are exceptionally important. Uneshama Parm Sfasenu. That although we don't have the ability to go out and bring Karbanos, but yet what? We have the ability to bring them through the recitation. The other function that Karbanos serve is Talmud Torah. Because remember, again, the sections of Karbanos are either one of two places. Either they're psukim from the Torah, or they're Mishnayos. Like Ezu Makomon is Mishnayos. So the idea over here says, the Gemara, technically speaking, you could satisfy, do I have an obligation to get up early in the morning to learn? No, I have an obligation to learn. So I can satisfy that obligation when I say Shema in the morning and the evening. So the idea is, if I take a Shavua, if I take an Edda, I'm going to get up early in the morning to learn, then Lemaisa, again, that actually does work, because I'm obligating myself to do something specific that I'm not technically bound to do. And therefore, again, he writes, therefore the Shavua, I must remember again, his Lashon of Shavua, remember, is... His Lashon of Shavua over here is actually quite specific, because remember, it can't say Neder, because a Neder ultimately, again, is upon an object, whereas a Shavua is upon the individual. So you can't take a Neder to get up early to learn. You could take a Neder to drink coffee at the early shir, that you could go ahead and do, because remember, that's on a cheftza, that's on an object, but you could only take a Shavua to get up early. So the idea over here is that Shavua will work, because lemaisa, I'm bound to learn, but I could get by very easily by satisfying that obligation through Kriya Shema, and therefore, again, the Shavua to get up early will in fact be a good Shavua. Amrav Gidol, Amrav, Ha'omer Lechavero, I must say, listen to this. Ha'omer Lechavero, Nashkim V'nishne Perek Zeh. If a person says to his friend, let's get up early and learn, let's get up early and have a chavrusa, right? I say to Reuven, let's get up early and have a chavrusa, listen to this, Alav Lahashkim. I will say, if I say to Reuven, let's get up early and learn, I have an obligation to be the first one in the base medrash. Why? Listen to this. Shene Emar, Vayomer Eli. Both say this is from Yecheskel. So this is Yecheskel. So Vayomer Eli, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to me, this is Yecheskel talking. God said to me, Ben Adam, Kum Tse Elabika, get up and go to the valley, Visham Adaber Oscha, and there I will speak with you. Va'itse elabeka, see Cheskel says, I went out to the Bika, Vihine Sham Kevot Hashem Omeid, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing. So we'll say, what does this mean? The idea is that because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who initiated the dialogue, therefore what? God had to be there first waiting for Yecheskel. So too, the Gemara understands this to be a paradigm, that if you initiate, again, a chavusa with someone, that you have to be the first one there. Amar Rav Yosef, so we'll say, see now the Gemara jumps a little bit, Niduhu B'chol, so we'll say, this going back to yesterday's sugya. Remember yesterday we learned about Nidui, about excommunicating someone, so listen to this, it's actually quite wild. Amar Rav Yosef, Nidu B'cholom, if a person was excommunicated in their dreams, not like in your dreams, you know, a person who literally had a dream that they were excommunicated, then what? Tzarech yud b'nei adam lahatilo. So he has to assemble a minyan of 10 people in order to go ahead and revoke the excommunication. So the idea over here is now what does this mean? So if you take a look at the Ran. So the Ran is all the way down, four lines up from the bottom. So the Ran says, Nido b'cholom, sarech asara b'nei adam lahatirlo. So you're excommunicated in a dream. You need 10 people to go ahead and revoke it. He says, l'fisha efshar, shebishlichos hamakom nisnada. It is possible that this dream was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'lefichach tzarech asara lahatirlo sheshchina imohem. Therefore, we'll say, this is very interesting. So one second. So if it's a communication from God that I've been excommunicated, so then what good does it do to gather a minion? Oh, so it says that's something very important. That's what? Wherever there is a minion, there is the Shechina. We will say that's the holy sort of tefillah b'tzibur. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Because I'll be sanctified in the midst of Klai. So remember again, there's Gzer Shavav, Toch, tells us that wherever there is 10 people, wherever there are 10 men, the Shechina is found as well. So if I have a dream, says the Ran, says the Gemara, I have to be fearful that perhaps that is a message from above. I have to be fearful that perhaps I did something that warranted some type of excommunication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Get the minion together, the Shechina is there, and they can go ahead and revoke the excommunication. Vahu detanu hilchasa. Rabbi says you can't just assemble any 10 people. Rather, you need 10 people. Detanu hilchasa, literally, who learn halachas, right? Specifically, again, who learn Gemara. But Rashi, see, the Ran says over here, vahu demasnu hilchasa. See, it's interesting. If you notice, by the way, the Ran has a different girsa. Our Gemara says, vahu detanu hilchasa. If you look at the Ran, he says what? Vahu demasnu hilchasa. What does masnu l'chasa mean? Kilomar demasnu la'achirim. So it's interesting. In the Ran's girsa, in the Gemara's girsa, you need 10 people who are learned in Gemara. In the Ran's girsa, you need 10 people who teach Gemara to others. Quite interesting. In any event, the Gemara says, Ava masnu v'lo tanu, but if people learn Mishnayis, but they don't learn Gemara, or according to the Ran, that would mean ultimately they go ahead, they learn themselves, but they don't teach to others. Lo, that's not good. They don't count as part of your minion. Listen to this. If you can't find 10 people, again, according to the Gemara that learn Gemara, and according to the Ran that teach Gemara, afilu masnu v'lo tanu, then you could go ahead and use people who learn/teach Mishnayos, but not Gemara. V'ileka, and I will say, if you can't find anyone, if you mamish can't find anyone, so what should you do? Listen to this. Lezel v'lesiv aparshas drachim. Go and sit by the crossroads. V'yohev shalma lebei yud. And give shalom. Say shalom aleichem to 10 people. Ad dimikloi le'asara digmiri hilkasa. Until ultimately, again, you go ahead and you find 10 people who go ahead and teach/learn Gemara. And then they can help you revoke your vow. Now, what does the Rebbe say? Look at the Ran again. The Ran says, "V'yoyev shama lebe asara." Listen to this. Omitoch sheyashivu lo shalom. So, what's this? Understand? The idea is you need to somehow assemble 10 people who learn or teach Gemara, depending on the girsa. Let's say you can't get that now. You just can't assemble that right now. So, what should you do? Sit by the crossroads. Give shalom aleichem to people. Let them give shalom aleichem to you back. Says the Ran. What does that mean? Omitoch sheyashivu lo shalom. Yaginu alav mina yisurin ad demikloin leasara. But said, you see the power of a shalom aleichem? The power of a shalom aleichem is that when you say shalom aleichem to someone and someone else says shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom to you, they're giving you a bracha. Right? When they say again shalom aleichem to you, what they're saying, they're giving you a bracha that you should have peace, that you should have shalom. That bracha, says the Gemara, is significant. It gives you like a whole new appreciation of greeting people. It's not just simply a hello. It's not just a formality. Literally, when you encounter another, you have ability to give them a bracha. And I will say, you never know what is happening in the life of the other. I mean, like klapi shmaya. You never know what din there may be upon another from above. And when you give a person a shalom aleichem, what you are giving them is not just a bracha, but you may even be giving them a little bit of a form of shmira, a little bit of a form of protection from some type of din that may be hanging over them. So if you can't get your minion of people to go ahead and revoke the spiritual or heavenly excommunication, essentially just keep saying shalom aleichem to people. Hopefully this is like a long drawn out kiddush levana over here, right? And let them keep giving you shalom aleichem back, and that will protect you from any type of divine decree. It's incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Yoda man shante mahu delishrei. Listen to this. So this is the same case actually. Let's say let's say I have the same dream. I had the dream. And let's say I know in the dream, ultimately, again, who excommunicated me. So what's the halacha? Amar lei v'shamute shavye shaliach. So I'll say, so now, what it's saying is like this. Let's say in my dream, Reuven came and excommunicated me. So now the shaila is again, so can I go to Reuven and have Reuven revoke the excommunication? Well, in other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is that excommunication that comes in dreams, you know, we saw the end of Brachos a long time ago already, the whole discussion about dreams, whether they're valid, not valid. So remember, again, the opinions are split on that. Interestingly enough, it appears when it comes to matters of excommunication, we seem to take that very seriously, even in dreams. So let's say in my dream,
the whole untold dream is like a sealed envelope or something.
Right. So apparently that's not true with this. Apparently this seems, you could ignore other dreams if you choose to, or you could choose not to ignore them. But apparently if you have a dream of being excommunicated, that seems to be all you have to deal with. So let's say in my dream, Reuven excommunicates me. He comes and he excommunicates me. So can I just go to Reuven and ask him to revoke to repeal the excommunication? To which the Gemara says, Amar lei l'shtamute shavei shliach. Right? No, not true. No, the answer is no. Why? Because it will say, if I have a dream that I was excommunicated by Reuven, it's not really Reuven. I'm being excommunicated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reuven is the chosen shaliach to convey that message. He was chosen to convey it. L'mishri lei lo shavei shaliach. But he is not the agent to go ahead and revoke the excommunication. I still have to follow the process outlined above. Omer Rav Achla Rav Ashi, Shamte v'shara b'chame mai. So we'll say, so what happened? Listen to this. So let's say in my dream, I was excommunicated, but what? The excommunication was also revoked and repealed in the dream as well. So I dreamt of being excommunicated, but again, dream ended well, everything is fine. So what's that? So we'll say, now the shaila is there any like post-dream follow-up that is necessary over here? So Amarlei, Kishem Shi Efshar Lebar Below Tevin. So we'll say the same way that is impossible to have grain without chaff, that there's grain with impurities, Amad Beis. Kach I Efshar Lecholom Below Devarim Betalim. So we'll say, so too, it is impossible to have a dream without Devarim Betalim, without nonsensical items as well. Now we'll say, now look at the Ran for just a moment. So the Ran writes over here, top Ran on the right hand side. Kishem Shi Efshar Lebar Below Tevin. Kedichsev Asher. So again, the idea is every dream, even if you ascribe meaning to dreams, so dreams ultimately, again, have parts that may be meaningful and have parts that are definitely nonsensical and not meaningful. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that if you have a dream that you were excommunicated and then the excommunication was repealed, so the Gemara seems to feel the excommunication part is meaningful. The repealing of the excommunication part, that's what? That's the nonsensical or unmeaningful part. Therefore, again, you still have to say, what you see is Chazal just taking an unusually careful approach to any situation in which a person dreams about excommunication. But look what the Ran says. He goes on, he says, Now this is very interesting. So now the interesting question is, now this is the Ran. Now you've already developed an appreciation for the Ran. That the Ran, unlike Rashi just likes to interpret what the Gemara is saying. The Ran, as you can see, is much more of a running commentary. So just an aside, the Ran has a very interesting Shiloh over here. What the Gemara is telling me is what? What the Gemara is telling me is that when I dream about excommunication, that there is a significance to that. That's not haphazard. Literally, I have to go through the process of actually repealing that excommunication. So look what the Ran asks. First wide line, end of the line. If somebody was excommunicated in his dream, do I have an obligation? So let's say I'm on a business trip. I can't get my 10 people together. So do I have an obligation to conduct myself in accordance with the halachas of someone who is excommunicated or not? So the Gemara says, Umistabrali da'afa gav da'aminan hacha d'mishini du b'chalomo sarich heter ein lilmod mikan l'mishenadar b'chalomo shiyehet sarich heter da'acha haynu taima mishum di'ika. So first of all, the Ran says, I'm not sure. Tzarachiyin. I don't know whether or not, if you dream about being excommunicated, to actually have to conduct yourself in terms of all of the halachos and being excommunicated as well. But then he asks another interesting question. He says that even though we've learned over here that if someone's been excommunicated in a dream, that it's there's something to it, meaning you have to conduct yourself as if it's a real excommunication and go ahead and assemble a minyan. He says, I'm not sure you can learn from here. In limo mikan, lemi shenadar b'cholom, sheitzarech heter. Well, say, listen to this case. Let's say I went ahead and I had a dream that I made a neder. I don't know, whatever the neder is. So the shaila now is, like I wake up, do I have to do hataras nedarim for the neder I made in my dream? So the Ran says, don't learn that from here, based on the nidre, based on the shamta, that you'd have to go ahead and have ataras nedarim. The halacha in the time mishum the ikal meimar shemin hashemayim nidu ma she'ein lomar kein beneder. So listen to this. So Duran says that here's the difference, is that when you have a dream about excommunication, there's a concern that that may be a message from above. If you dream about Nidarim, that does not create a binding reality, unless, of course, it was a promise to give to the shul. Mm-hmm. It's a promise to give to the shul that you must absolutely carry through on. Right, but aside from that, any other Neder, so Lamaisa, again, Duran says it is not binding in a dream. So he goes on, he says, So listen to this. So the Ran quotes the Rashba, and the Rashba says, except there was a situation, there was a Maisa, where somebody came to the Rashba about a neder that they made in a dream, and the Rashba made them undergo the process of Hataras Nedarim. So again, the Ran doesn't give us, well, how often look this up in the Rashba, about this in the Tshuvas of the Rashba, but the Rashba apparently had a case where he made someone do Hataras Nedarim for a neder in a dream. All right, we'll get back to that case. Let's go back to the Gemara. So that sugya concludes, but that is actually quite a dramatic sugya. And if you notice again, the Gemara does not even record another opinion in this particular sugya. So the Gemara says, halacha lemaisa, a person has a dream about excommunication, person should really go ahead and assemble a minyan of people who are tamidei chachamim, either tamidei chachamim who learn, tamidei chachamim who teach, in order to go ahead and be matir that neder, out of concern that that may be a message from above. Ravina hava la nadra ledivisu. So we'll say, Ravina's wife made a neder. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, havu la nadra ledivisu, v'ihu lo hifir la biyom sheshama. Now, we'll say, remember, a husband has the ability to annul the neder of his wife, but he only has the ability to annul it on the day that he hears it. Now remember again, we'll get into the sugya, but now this doesn't necessarily mean the day that she made it, meaning because let's say she made the neder on Monday, but he didn't know about it. He heard about it for the first time on Thursday. He has the ability to annul it on Thursday, meaning his license to annul is on the first day that he hears about it. So again, he has the ability to go ahead and... Ravina, his wife made a neder, and Ravina did not annul it on the day that he heard about it. So what happened? Now his wife wants to annul the neder. So what does he do? Also the kamid Ravashi. So he comes before Ravashi. This Ravina comes before Ravashi. Amrlei, Baal, mahu sheyase shaliach lecharatas ishto. So we'll say, so Ravina comes to Ravashi and says, can I act as my wife's shaliach to go ahead and, on her behalf, to have her neder annulled? Ever neder annulled. So she, whatever the reason, she's not coming to Beis Din. Mm-hmm. Can I act on her behalf to go ahead and annul the neder? So the Gemara says, Amrlei. So Ravashi responded the following. But say, take a look at the Ran for just one moment. Ba'al ma she'yase shliach lecharat asishto. Haram mazel sober beperek vav mehilchos shavuos. Tedafka ba'bal hu di'ibaylon. Mipnei shabal hu ki ishto. Now, Bosai, remember, this shayla is unique by a husband and wife. It's tafka, again, a husband who's asking this why. Because, Bosai, we have a concept in halacha of what? Ishto ki gufo. We have this concept, which is not just a nice sheva bracha zvart, that my wife is like me, we're like one. Bosai, that has halachic ramifications as well. So, therefore, the shayla over here is, if ishto ki gufo, do I, as a husband, have the ability to go ahead and act on my wife's behalf? Again, with her request to get the neder annulled on her behalf. She doesn't want to go to Beis Din, or she's not here. She asked me to do it. Can I do it? But look what the Ran says. However, again, aval adam acher pshita she'eno naase shaliach tesar she'anodir b'fnei amatir. But again, it goes without saying that someone else cannot, mean there's no din of shlichus by charata. There's no din of shlichus ultimately, again, that someone else can come on behalf of the noder to go ahead and get the neder revoked. This is dafka, a unique shayla by a husband. Since ishtoke gufo, can I go on behalf of my wife to have the neder annulled?
After so, the first day of it.
I'm sorry?
After the first day?
Correct, because on the first day, there's no need for this, because on the first day, the husband could simply just annul the neder himself. This is post-first day. His window of annulment has closed, but she could, also remember again, you could do atar zanam whenever you want. Remember, just so you understand, what they're talking about over here is the concept of charata. Charata means you go before a beis din or before a yachid, mumcha, an individual expert, and you say, I have regret that I made the neder. Had I known this particular piece of information, hey, I would have never made the neder in the first place. That's called charata, and that's one of the ways in which you could get out of a neder. So husband's going to go and articulate his wife's position in front of the beis din or in front of the yachid, mumcha, the individual expert. Saloch lemaisa, again, is that permitted? So I will say, Rav Ashi responds, Amrlei, I mekanfin in, I lo lo. So Rav Ashi responded, look, the halacha is that if a beis din is already assembled, then you could go ahead and annul the neder on your wife's behalf, but we will not assemble a beis din specifically for this purpose. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So if there's a beis din already assembled, then fine, we'll do it. If there's not a beis din, then ultimately, again, we will not do it. And I will say that if you take a look, if you go in that run with the Divrei Maaskil, Baal, Mashi, Yaseh, Shaliach, see that run? So go where the lines get shorter, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines into that run. Umaskinon, you see it, it's like three words and there's a period there. Umaskinon, Da'afilu Baal, I mekanfin in, I lo mekanfin lo. So we'll say, what Rav Ashi said is, yes, you husband, you could get the neder annulled on your wife's behalf, but what? We are not going to convene a beis din specifically for this purpose. In other words, if there's a beis din already convened, fine, but you're not going to specifically convene. He says, da'af agav the ishto kegufo, lo hikilu gabe bal ela hecha de mekanfi, aval de lichnifi lechatchila gabe lo, kevan de mechavarta milsa she. So this is a very interesting idea. So Rav Ashi says, look, it works, but we don't like it. It works, but we don't like it. Therefore, if there is already, so to speak, a beis din in session, you can chaperein. Right? If there's already a beis din in session, you could come and you can go ahead and you could annul the neder on your wife's behalf. But we are not...
It's just a way around the one-day rule.
I'm sorry?
It's just a way around the one-day rule.
No. This has nothing to do with the one-day rule. This is a din in ishto kegufo.
I understand, but the whole purpose that you have to come onto this theory is because he's beyond one day. So he needs a way to be mavering the neder without having...
No, because he's not being made for the neder here. This is not the husband being made for the neder. It's the wife.
I understand, but he's doing it on her behalf.
But that's different than in his one-day window, that is him acting unilaterally. Meaning, let's say his wife is saying, no, I love this neder, I want to do this neder, don't be made for the neder, please, please, please.
Did she explicitly authorize him to go to bed?
Of course. Yeah, that's the case over here. Remember, she wants out. I want to be clear. He can't do this of his own volition, right? He can't decide that I don't want her to have this neder. The only time that he has the right to unilaterally annul a neder is on the day that he hears it. Now what's happening over here is she's saying to him, I want out. I want out of this. Can you do this on my behalf? So the shayla is, does such a concept like this exist at all that someone other than the noder themselves show up in basin for atara? Now here's what we know. We know that under normal circumstances, if I make a neder, but I don't feel like going to basin, I can't appoint you to go on my behalf, even though shlichus works in every other area, doesn't work here. The shaila is, because there's a concept of ishto kegufo, does it work between a husband and a wife? So the answer is yes. Do we like it? No. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, we are not going to assemble a beis din for the purpose of allowing this process to occur. But if there's a beis din that's already in session, then again, you can chaperein, you could go ahead and you could do what has to be done. Shami Natlas. This is Daf Yomi, right? Like I said, your understanding is supposed to be limited. So this is the thing about Shami Natlas. They can ask you questions after. Shmamino ba nase shaliach lecharata sishto. So Bosei, remember again. So we learn out three things from here. Number one, that a husband could become a shaliach for, again, charat asi shavasa means the remorse of his wife. That's not a general like life marriage statement. Mm-hmm. Right? The idea was so by nedarim, right? So halacha number one is that indeed a husband has the ability to be the agent to help his wife revoke her vow. Shmamina lo shari le mishrei nidra ba'asad rabbe. Now here's what's also interesting. What's interesting over here is you also see from here that you cannot go ahead and be matir neder in ultimately, again, in the place where your Rebbe lives. And what the Gemara is picking up on over here is, remember, Hataras Nedarim, it can be performed by a Yachid Mumcha, by an individual who is an expert who's proficient in the laws. Ravina was a Yachid Mumcha. He was an individual. So why isn't he just Matya the Nedar of his wife? Meaning, forget it, not as a husband, but as a Talmud Chacham. So the answer is because he lived in the locale of his Rebbe, Ravina. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Ravina lived in the locale of his Rebbe, Rav Ashi, and therefore you see from here that you are not permitted to be Matir Nedarim in the place where your Rebbe lives. Ushmamina ki mekanfin shapir dami. But you see from here that Lamaisa, as long as the rabbinic body is already gathered, that's when a husband is permitted to act as the shaliach on behalf of his wife. So the Gemara qualifies one ruling v'shamta, but Rabbo say in order to revoke excommunication, afilu ba'asra dirabe, that you can do even in the locale in which your Rebbe lives. So Rabbo say again, what's interesting is, and we see this in other areas of halacha, that even if you're outstanding Talmud Chacham, if you live in the same city as your Rebbe, there are certain limitations as to what you're permitted to do and not do. So apparently, again, to go and be matir nedarim, that you can't do in the locale of your Rebbe, but yet to revoke excommunications, that because there's such a need for the individual, that you could do even in the place where you are, even if you live in the same city as your Rebbe. V'yachid mumcha shari shamta. And you don't need a beis din to go ahead and revoke an excommunication, but even an individual expert can do so. Amar b'shem bar zovid, amar b'yitzchak bar tavla, amar b'chia aricha debe rab acha, amar b'zir amar laza, amar b'chanina, amar b'yashim, shvei rab Yehuda bar Iloi. All those people. Ma'id ichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? V'zarcha lachem yirei shimi. So this is quoting over here from the pasuk in Malachi. V'zarcha lachem yirei shimi. Shemesh tzedaka umarpe. What's the meaning of the pasuk? What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, I will go ahead and cause for you, literally, to shine. Yirei shimi. Those who fear my name. Shemesh tzedaka. A son of tzedakah, of literally of righteousness or charity, umarpe, that is able to heal. What is this referring to? Elu b'nei adam shen yirein lahoti shen shmai levatala. So let's listen to this. These refer to the people who are unwilling to go ahead and ever utter the name of God in vain. What's this we call yirei shemi? They are afraid to utter the name of God in vain. So what happens to them? Shemesh tzedakah umarpe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will shine upon them, literally, a son of righteousness and healing. Kodesh Baruch says, I will take special care of them. Amra Bayi Shmamina. So learn from here. Charga Diyoma Masi. So literally, the dust of the sun heals. I'm going to say what that refers to. What's the dust of the sun? So you ever see, if you see like a direct ray of sun, so you're able to see all of the dust particles. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the rays of the sun themselves have the ability to heal the individual. Upligu de Reb Shimon Lakish. This argument, what does Reb Shimon Lakish say? It's the Amar, in Gehenam la'olam haba. There is no Gehenam in the world to come. Let's qualify this very carefully. If you look at the Ran, I'm sorry, please don't. Actually, this game we should leave like what it is. It's actually is good news. Right? So look what the Ran says. Last three lines of the Ran. Ein gehenam le'asid lavo. Lav la'achar misa. This is not referring to after you die. After you die, there's certainly gehenam. Again, not certainly gehenam. After one dies, when we leave this world, there is the potential, there is the punishment of gehenam. Devada ike gehenam le'reshoim. El le'asid lavo la'achar t'chias ha'mesim kamar. Sha'osan reshoim sha'hayu le'charpos le'deron olam kidichsib Daniel. Lo yinidam be gehenam el le'ba. So Baal said, this is talking about after Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, interestingly enough, even the wicked ultimately, again, will experience Messianic era. But what will happen to the wicked in the Messianic? That's what it means. So, Ein Gehenam La'olam Haba. I'm always at Lashon again, I'm sorry. So again, means Olam Haba in this context means Messianic era. So Messianic era, again, you might think when Mashiach comes, all the Rishayim will die, go to Gehenna. That's not what happens. When Mashiach comes, the Rishayim still live as well. So what happens? Ela, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the sun out, literally the sun out from its sheath. which is another way of saying Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes out the sun in its full force. Tzadikim misrapin ba, the righteous are healed with the sun. Verishayim nidonin ba, and the wicked are judged through it. Shene emar vezarcha lachem yirei shemei shemesh, that ultimately again I will go ahead and cause to shine for you my son, and ultimately again it's shemesh tzedaka umarpe bechnafeh. If he says lo od ella shemesh adnin ba, so I'll say this idea that in the messianic era Kadosh Baruch Hu will take out the sun, so the wicked are judged, the heat of the sun burns the wicked, but ultimately again the righteous are unaffected, but not only not unaffected, ella shemesh adnin ba, they actually enjoy the sun. Shene emar v'yitzasem ufashtem ke'agle marbeik, that you will go ahead and you will go out literally like fattened cattle. The idea is that you will literally benefit from the sun. V'rishat nidonin ba, and the wicked will be judged through the sun. Shene emar hine yom ba boer ketanra, the great day is coming, and literally the sun will burn like a furnace. So we'll say this idea that in Yemos HaMashiach, ultimately again, even the natural world will change, and apparently again in the Yemos HaMashiach, the tzaddikim will benefit, will be healed, and will benefit from the restorative powers of nature, whereas the wicked will be judged by them. Right, we'll stop over here.
In light of Ishto Kedusha, I'm surprised at this.